Yeah, let me turn my brain off. Anyway.
Now you have to turn your brain on. We're about to have a deep discussion here. Because I'm Joseph Planchette and this is Randy Keepers. How you doing?
Hey, buddy, how's it
Hey.
going?
This is part two of our Avengers podcast, Avengers Age of Ultron. Kind of like our Superman Man of Steel one we did a couple years ago. This movie has kind of made some people angry. So we figured we would kind of follow up on our review and talk about some of the behind the scenes stuff going on about this movie. So, has your opinions changed on the movie in the 5 days since it's been out?
No, I'm still a huge fan of the film. I like it as much as I liked it as when I first watched it. It's really just what I'm into.
Yeah.
It's relevant to my interests still.
So, like, as I am one to do, listen to a lot of podcasts that were like I'm reviewing it. Like all the podcasts I listen to, of course, they had a big Age of Ultron review, and they were kind of all over the place about what these movie fan sites and movie podcast people thought about it. Like, it was almost universal that they enjoyed it, but they thought it was flawed. But most of them seemed to enjoy it anyway. Some people took like a more like comic book fan. It was like, I'm just glad I got to see a movie like this, had Thor and Vision and all these characters, and they did a pretty good job with it. Like, that's all I can ask for, and they were just happy to see it. Some people were more cynical about like the Marvel machine. You know, it's like, well, they just pump out the same movie over and over again, and you can tell it with this movie because it feels so formulaic, and you can tell this part was put in here just for the sequel. And the other guy was like, "Oh yeah, but it sets up Thor Ragnarok, and isn't that exciting?" And they're like, "No, it ruins this movie." Some people just hated it. Like, this one reviewer thought it was the worst Marvel Studios movie, like, out of all of them. Like, he said, even worse than Incredible Hulk and Iron Man 2. And you're like, oh no.
Wow, that's
Yeah.
that is some venom.
Yeah. And some people thought it was, like, just awesome. Like, man, they just did such a good job. Like, Joss Whedon has this vision for the characters, and he just put them on stage. But so I'm kind of in between all that. Like, I'm a huge fan of these movies, and even though like I see like every little hole in Age of Ultron, I still came away saying, you know what? They didn't really disappoint in the stuff I was looking for. It's like, yeah, the Thor stuff might have not been great, but you know, whatever. It's setting up Ragnarok.
Yeah.
So, and all that. And I'm pretty sure, like, you're the same way.
I'm okay, so I grew up with these characters like long before things like this were generally cared about by anybody. You know, when comic books were just for kids and just you know, like everybody would be like, "Oh, well, comics were always relevant." No. They've always carried a stigma. They've always had this strange impossibility to them that some people just couldn't comprehend, and that's why they couldn't get into them, and that's why people like, you know, still just thought comics for the longest time were kids' stuff. And I was one of those people who liked Vision, who liked these characters growing up. You know, everyone will be like, "Oh, well, I liked Spider-Man a lot when I was younger," and it's like everyone liked Spider-Man. Tell me who Vision is. Like, I have no idea who Vision is. Oh, well, how about
I mean,
Ant-Man?
I didn't know who Vision was
Yeah, but
until
that's.
like I saw him in like the animated show, you know?
But yeah, and that's okay. You know, not everybody was as well nerdy as I am, I
Well, I mean,
guess you
like
could say.
I'm not a fan of the comics. Like, I'm a fan of the other type of media that's around it. Just 'cause I haven't read them.
No.
So like I was looking at it, like I knew that the Vision and the Maxinoff twins were different in this version, but I don't really
Yeah.
care, you know?
Yeah. Exactly, and that makes you no less a fan too, you know.
Well, it's like the Mandarin thing in Iron Man 3. Like, I think a lot of like fanboys don't like that movie just because of that little twist, you know? And like that's kind of stupid because Iron Man 3, in my opinion, is a pretty excellent movie. Like, even though it has some flaws, it's like it's just really well made and fun to watch, you know?
And I completely agree. You know, I completely agree. But like, a lot of the people whom are freaking out about, you know, well, they're setting up for the story in the middle of the movie and blah 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 blah, and it ruins the film. And it's like Marvel has a vision. They vision. They have what they want in mind. And as long as they're willing to continue to deliver on an exciting film that pleases fans like myself and pleases fans like, you know, pretty much most people who've seen the film so far, you know, it does its job. It's supposed to be a fun film. But when people start going into these enormous diatribes and hooting and screaming about how, oh, this is just a huge money grab from Marvel and blah blah blah, it's like, you know, if it were a money grab, we would see the movies deteriorating in quality, and I don't see that. I don't see these movies, like, they don't seem to be getting worse. They don't seem to be droning on, and I don't know where these people are coming from.
Yeah, like, I don't really see this movie like being better than Guardians and Winter Soldier, but it's definitely not like you know, as much as I love these, like Iron Man 2 had a lot of problems in my mind.
It did. I
And
agree.
the first Thor isn't one of my favorites, but like I wouldn't put like this movie on that level, you know.
And I completely agree. It's one of my favorites as well. I think it's at this point that people just seem to be trying to find a reason to dislike these things. Like, I feel like people, like, you know, the same reason why there are people who just seem to inexplicably hate Call of Duty. I think these are the same people. You know,
Yeah, I think some people are waiting for Marvel to fail, and like I didn't really get the impression that any of these people wanted the movie to be bad, but it seems like they were just picking up every little nitpick, really. And like one reviewer is on this podcast called the Slash Filmcast. Like one of the guys is, he was the guy who thought it was like the worst Marvel movie, and he was going on about like, well, I didn't think the relationship between Ultron and Vision was built up enough. And the other guy was like, well, I can see how you thought it was rushed, but I mean, they had an entire scene that spelled out exactly what their feelings are. And he said, like, well, it's not enough. And even I was thinking, it's like, well, what do you want? It's like, in this 2.5 hour movie, it's like they gave just enough. And to be honest, I think a lot of stuff was just enough in this movie. Like, they didn't go into a bunch of detail about like the twins, but they did just enough where it felt like organic, I thought.
They gave us enough to understand who they are, where they came from. They even gave us a little bit of exposition that I felt was appropriately shoehorned in. Now, it was shoehorned, don't get me wrong. It was put right in front of our faces, don't get me wrong. But there is literally no other way they could have gone to explain the twins, other than like a drawn out backstory or something just inappropriate or strange.
Well, they had like one of the prequel comics was about that. It was about how they were protesting against whatever war was going on, or like Stark interfering in their country, which would explain the anti-Iron Man propaganda in there, and how Stryker was getting volunteers for his human experiments, and they like under the pretense of fight for your country and all that, and they were the only two people that survived. Now, that's pretty important backstory, and I bet they filmed something of them explaining some of that, because I remember there was in the previews, I think, some I don't know, it's like case files for the twins and like the scepter and stuff that they were reading. But like, yeah. Do you really need to know the exact circumstances of the twins when they give just enough for you to believe why they're there, you know?
Yeah. And it's not like they're there for no reason. It's not like they're just like suddenly twins. You know, they gave us enough. They gave me more than enough. I didn't even read the prequel comic, and I was satisfied with what I was given. You know, and I feel like it's all. You're right. You are absolutely correct. It feels like these folks are people who want to see the Marvel movies fail because they've just been so successful lately that they're just like, oh, another Marvel film. They're not. Don't be surprised. We have films until 2019 with 4 years of Marvel films that they have planned to keep going because, you know, it's why would you get so pissed off at Marvel for wanting to make a movie every year or a couple
three movies a year eventually?
Yeah, but when Disney does the same damn thing. You know, or it's just that the company is using its own intellectual properties the way that they want to use it, and they're storytellers. You know, that's what comic books are supposed to be. And we're getting stories all the time from Marvel superheroes because that's what we go there for. We go there for stories. We go there for action. We go there for fun. We go there for the same reason people come to comic books, and I don't understand, as a longtime comic book reader, and I believe that a lot of these reviewers and people who watch this or watch these movies and consume this information and do what they do, I assume that they don't just watch the movies. I assume also that they might be into comic books. I assume that they might consume a lot of things. I can't understand why they're getting angry at storytellers for being storytellers.
Yeah, like, I can't blame a film critic who saw Age of Ultron and said, well, this is a mess on par with Age of Extinction, like the Transformer movie. But like, if you're a comic book fan and you nitpick like a... I try not to do this, but I read some comments. Don't read comments, but I read some comments of people on some of these websites. And he was like, ooh, Civil War. Hope it's better than Avengers Age of One-Liners. And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
It's that's... like, yeah. I guess you hate the movie because they told jokes in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but... So, I mean, all that's opinion. Like, if you don't like it, then... that's fine, but like, don't like it for the right reasons. Don't dislike it because you thought Ultron should have been developed more. Because guess what? All of these Marvel movies, the villains usually aren't the important part.
Yeah, and like when people are like, why are they pandering to this or why are they doing that or things like that? And I just like. Dude, okay, if you don't like it, clearly it's not for you. Stop consuming it and move on. You know, if you don't like the Marvel movies anymore, don't waste your time and energy crapping all over them. Just move forward, you know, move forward from, if everybody's like, man, I like these things, I love this movie, it's so good. It's like, well, yeah, it's probably their opinion, but, you know, it you shouldn't take it upon yourself to take it away from someone else who enjoys it. You know, that's what I'm starting to see too, is that there are so many people who are so obsessed with, no, you have to think like I do and like the things that I do. Otherwise you're wrong and stupid. And it's just like, you know, I'm probably going to watch these stinking Marvel movies until I die. You know, I'm gonna watch them until I'm a crazy old man talking about, I remember the first time I saw the Iron Man movie, and I'm all over that. And Marvel movies are pretty much for me. That's how I like it.
Like, you know how I said earlier, I thought Iron Man 2 and Thor, like, weren't my favorites?
Yeah.
I'll still watch them again.
Yeah, of course. And, like, I respect your opinion to not like them, you know, and... I respect your opinion too. You know, it's like I might not agree with you. Well, actually, I kind of do on the Iron Man 2 part, but I like Thor a lot.
Yeah, even though then it's like Iron Man 2 has a lot of problems, it's still fun to watch. So
yeah,
that's kind of the thing. You know what? This is kind of a aside, but I watched the first Iron Man like a week or two ago, and people complain like in Iron Man 3 that he's not Iron Man enough and like all that stuff. He's hardly Iron Man in the first Iron Man movie. You know that?
Yeah.
Think you remember that?
Really?
Like, yeah, if like you put all the Iron Man scenes, I bet there's more Iron Man action in like Iron Man 3.
Than there is in the first one?
Yeah, I think people use the like if they don't like a movie as much, they just latch on to that one thing that bugs them as the reason why the movie's horrible.
Yeah, and I feel like, oh, excuse me. I ruined the podcast. I'm sorry. Anyway, I just feel like there are a lot of times where people have become so enamored with being right, I guess you could say. Like being like liking when people agree with them. And when say, okay, I can come up to somebody and be like, you know, I thoroughly enjoyed Iron Man 2. But it feels like there are so many people out there who are so adamant about being like, no, you're stupid for having that opinion. And I'm like, you know what? No, dude, you don't understand that it's that kind of attitude that probably turned you, like, you might not be a comic book reader. And you might not be a nerd in the traditional sense. You might not be a huge gamer, but you doing that right there is what makes comic books so inaccessible for some people. It's that kind of behavior that makes it, you know, so hard to care about, you know? And I feel like there are a lot of people who are trying to turn it into that. There's a large number of people who are trying to find little reasons to tear a movie apart and stick to that reason as to why they think that movie is terrible. And then there are also the people who will work their hardest to make sure that you don't. Anyway, it's just. It's almost like there's an agenda to push.
Yeah,
That's what it
well,
feels like.
let's get into the some of the behind the scenes stuff that kind of came out after this movie came out.
Yeah.
Like Joss Whedon didn't really hide the fact, like during the production of this movie was slowly killing him. Like he was just going crazy. Like it was like stressful, and he couldn't wait for it to be over. And it's like, oh yeah, this movie must be crazy to make. But we're starting to learn a little bit more reasons why. And it kind of plays into some of the criticisms people have of the movie, because the stuff that he was having problems with were the stuff that audiences are having problems with at the moment. Like the big thing is people saying, well, like the Thor subplot just kind of goes nowhere and it's a sequel bait. Well, it turns out that Joss Whedon didn't want that in the movie. It was like a Marvel mandate that it was. And but he wanted the farmhouse stuff in like the extended vision sequences, but Marvel wasn't too happy about it.
Oh,
Now,
yeah.
yeah, so he said this pretty openly. So he said it was kind of like Marvel had the farmhouse with a gun against his head,
Oh.
saying if you want the farmhouse, you gotta put the Thor stuff in. And
Huh.
he fought it, but he's like, okay. So the Thor stuff used to be a lot more expansive. Like, in the movie now, it's like he mentions if the water spirits like find me worthy, they'll give me a vision and all that.
Yeah.
Well, if you remember in the first trailer, I don't know if you watched it, but there was like the actual water spirits like show up in the cave and do a little water spirit dance and actually possess Thor, and Thor explains like Ragnarok and the Infinity Gauntlet stuff to the audience, and he has a vision inside Asgard where Loki is actually there and stuff like that. And so it was a lot more expansive, but the test audience, he said, didn't really respond well to it. Joss Whedon was probably like, well, big surprise, I knew they wouldn't.
Yeah,
And
exactly.
so they said, well, let's just cut out the Thor stuff, but he was like, it's already in the movie. It's like, it's as part of my plot that Thor leaves and does something important. Like, I just could have him leave and show up later and say, like, I saw this vision.
That's exactly what he does.
Yeah, but at least you see what he does.
Yeah.
So he said, I was so worn down and beaten down by the whole process that he just kept it in there as little as he could. And that's why he feels so out of place. But at least he got his farmhouse stuff.
Yeah. And I actually enjoyed the farmhouse stuff. Like, and now I know that might be like, well, it's the slow bit in the movie. And it really is. It is the slow bit.
It really needed it, too.
Yeah, it really humanized the characters, I believe. It also helped to develop... when you look at somebody who's like Black Widow, who, to be honest, like, the way that she is, she's more of an idea and less a person. Like, she... You always see her, and she is... what's the word I'm looking for? She's a tool, I guess you could say, who's tied to duty, is what she is. You know, you don't really see a whole lot of genuine emotion from her in the things that she's in, unless, you know, she's terrified of the Hulk, or that's it. You know, in Avengers, of course. This is from the Avengers. But thing... to me, is that they humanized her a lot. In, like, this little fling that she has with Banner, you know? It's a little thing, and I'll admit, you know, it's quite true. It is a very little thing. And I don't know why people are getting so bent out of shape with her situation, like, her in her regimen, like, what caused her to be her. Yeah. As well as her attachment to Banner. Like, it's clear to me that they have created a bond of trust because she's the one who has to knock him out of his Hulkdom, I guess you could say.
Hulkiness.
And the, like, acting like, oh no, why? Why is this plot device falling in love with this other plot device? And it's just like, dude, cool your shit for a second, man.
Well, I think, like, I don't know what people think, but, like, sort of this one collage of all these angry tweets towards Joss Whedon, and most of them were towards the Black Widow, and one of them said, Joss Whedon calls women who are sterile monsters in Age of Ultron. Way to go. And I thought it was pretty obvious in the movie that she thought she was a monster because she killed people.
Yeah.
Like, and she was a weaponized person since she was a child. Like, I think that's what they were referring to, not the fact that she can't have children.
Yeah, she... Okay. So, it's picked at in Avengers that it's very obvious that she... is not happy with the kind of person that she is. Verbatim, she says she has a lot of red in her ledger. She has a lot of things to regret. And the fact that she was effectively built, she wasn't trained, she wasn't educated, she was built. She was crafted with specific purpose. A person who is not a person, who feels like they're not a person, who has been convinced that they're not a person, will feel like they are a monster. When Bruce is trying to say, I can't reproduce, or I shouldn't reproduce, things like that, it's not her saying, I can't reproduce, ergo, I'm a monster too. No, she's trying to relate to him, saying, I physically can't reproduce because of the thing. So, you know, because I was created. You know?
And also, I think she said that to let her know, it's like, don't worry, there's no way, like, there's no way you can pass on your genes.
Yeah, exactly. And if these are people who, okay, if all you got from her saying, I'm a monster, and you drew correlation to her infertility, I do have a lot of strong words for you, but it's, I'm not going to say them right now because that doesn't make me a better person. It doesn't make me better than you. It probably would make me worse than you because she's not, infertility doesn't make you monstrous. And that wasn't what she was trying to refer to.
I don't even know if she was, like, I think she was upset by it, but I think it was more the fact that it was done to her, not the fact that it happened.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
exactly.
Like, I don't know if she ever, like, wanted to have kids or anything. Probably not. Like, she probably doesn't, like, hasn't wanted to be close to anybody her entire life until she sees an opposite in Bruce. And, Whedon said that, that it was never the plan. Like, it wasn't an idea that they had in the first movie that, like, the first movie was, like, the start of a relationship. It was something that they discovered in this one. But if you think back to the first one, it's like, Natasha being terrified of the Hulk is probably the most emotion she feels almost her entire life, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And if someone can make her feel that strongly about something, even if it's fear, well, that may even, like, make her realize, like, she's, like, fearful for herself and what she's become. It's, like, made her realize that stuff. And, like, almost everything else in the movie, they don't spend a lot of time on it, but it's something you can read into and you can kind of see the intent. Apparently Joss said that there was a lot more Bruce and Natasha stuff. Even one scene that he's really sad got cut. He didn't say what it was. He said it was probably going to be in the DVD. That he said, like, cemented the entire thing even more, but it wasn't appropriate for the runtime or whatever.
Yeah, and, like, what's more is that it's not even really that, you know, oh, they're going to run away together and they're going to be together, a couple of monsters all together. No, because, spoiler, they don't even end up together. He gets away from her and the Avengers in the end because he's the Hulk. He's the effing Hulk. You know, that's what he does. He tries to be solitary. He wants to be away from everyone. He just wants there to be peace that isn't destructed or obstructed by the forces that would try to provoke the Hulk as well as the Hulk himself. And, like, I don't like to lean on the comics too much, especially when I'm trying to argue for something that is a completely different universe, because it is a cinematic universe. It's a completely different animal. But the thing is that it is like it. You do have to lean on it for some of these situations for these people, because we live in a world where there are people who always need a reason for something. They always need to have every tiny little detail explained to them. One of my favorite directors, Guillermo del Toro. I probably didn't pronounce his name right. When he made Pan's Labyrinth, when people would ask him things like, "Well, why is this? Why is this?" and he would just give them simple answers like, because magic, that's why. Because that's what it is, that's why. Or it's exactly what it looks like it is. You know, when people are trying to find subtext that isn't there, or trying to find, you know, imagery and things like that that just simply isn't there, it starts to deteriorate what I think is the experience that is the film. But, you know, it's, again, this is just me trying to defend the movie, because honestly it's like my job.
This reminds me of, like, another criticism I heard from a few of the reviewers who said that the Vision and Scarlet Witch's powers weren't defined enough. It's like, I don't get what they can do. Like, Scarlet Witch can give people visions, but she has fireballs. I don't understand. It's like, we need to have a clear definition of what these guys' powers are. And it's like, well, you know what their powers are because they show you on the screen. They don't have to... It's like, this is Scarlet Witch. She has fireball powers and mind vision powers and this. It's like half the fun is, like, when you see the Vision do his, like, forehead beam thing.
Yeah.
It's like, it doesn't explain in the movie that he can do that earlier. It just happens. You're like, yes!
Yeah, or that he does the phasing thing. Like, he phases through things.
Yeah.
When he's fighting some of the Ultron robots, he phases into them partially and tears them apart. while he's doing it.
Yeah, like, it can just happen. You don't have to
yeah.
be explained beforehand that he can phase. It's like, just accept it. Like, he can do this.
Yeah, and, like, when... it becomes a catch-22. It becomes a catch-22, because if you try to explain it, why it works, people are going to be like, well, of course that's how it works, because that's not how it actually works. And it's just like, you're damned if you do or you're damned if you don't. And I would rather that, you know, he just leaves it be. You know, he just, like, Vision can phase through things, and he floats as if he's in space, and he has forehead lasers. Well, does why?
Does the Vision have a Infinity Gem in the comics?
Not that I recall. I don't remember him ever having one.
Okay, so that's something that they did. Yeah, like in the movie universe, you can explain that stuff. Like, well, he has one of the most powerful things in the universe attached to his forehead. That's why he can do it.
Yeah, and we can just say that. We can just pretend that is the case.
Yep. Some other criticism I heard, and this one I kind of agree with a lot more than the others, is that Ultron, like, a really fun villain, but he didn't really interact with the heroes much or give a reason why he's dangerous in the movie. Like, if you think back to Loki, like, Loki has interactions with, like, all the characters, basically. And
yeah.
You get his relationship with pretty much everybody. And I thought one of the big parts of the movie was how his relationship with Tony, because it's like the creator and his creation. I don't think they even talked during the movie, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
And that was actually pretty disappointing to me, how that stuff was never really addressed.
Yeah.
That's one criticism I heard, and don't really have any defense of that one. It's just,
yeah.
There probably just wasn't time for it.
Yeah. And it does have quite a long, not a long run time, but it does have quite a run time.
Yeah.
You know, the film is quite long.
Like, if you remember back to the trailers, Ultron felt a lot more intimidating. Like that speech he was giving about strings. Like, I thought that was a speech he was going to be giving, like, to Tony in, like, a moment of weakness, saying, this is why you can't defeat me. I've outgrown you, father. But there wasn't any scene like that. And,
no, there wasn't. Yeah.
Yeah, and that was kind of disappointing to me. Maybe because Ultron maybe didn't really think of Tony as his father in this one. Like, in this iteration, like, it's like, yeah, I'm alive because he did something stupid. So, ha ha, joke's on you.
Yeah, exactly.
I wonder if, like, there's a more traditional Ultron with, like, Hank Pym, if that would be a, like, more of a thing they would explore.
Yeah, hopefully, like, we can figure that out, but, you know, as it stands, we don't really have much. You know, it's just like...
A few other behind-the-scenes things. Joss wanted Captain Marvel and Spider-Man to be in the movie somehow.
Yeah.
Who knows how, because I don't know how they would show up. But yeah. They haven't cast Captain Marvel yet, and even he said, like, in an interview, or Foggy said, it would just be too much if there was this flying lady randomly in the movie. Like, you need to explain that a little bit. And Spider-Man, like, the deal hadn't happened yet. So, I think he wanted him, like, in the last scene or as a mid-credit scene or something like that.
Yeah. And, like, the Wakanda scene was interesting.
Now, was that city Wakanda, or was it just, like, a city in Africa?
I think it might have just been a city in Africa, but I'm not sure, like...
Because, like, they've said, like, he stole from the Wakandans, but... They never said that that's where he was hiding out.
Yeah.
And plus Wakanda's, at least in the comics, has always been like a hidden village. And everyone like looked like tribal people, but they had like smartphones and stuff.
Yeah.
And like supercomputers.
Yeah.
Man, I really wish Black Panther was before Infinity War Part 1. But now it's like right after it. I'm wondering how... I'm wondering, like, which heroes are going to be in which movies. Wonder how they
Yeah.
handle all that. Because, like, you got to include everyone. Like, this is, like, what you've been building up to for 10 years. Like, you have to have all the new guys, like Doctor Strange and Ant-Man and Black Panther and the Guardians of the Galaxy, in addition
Yeah.
to the heroes you already have established. And
Yeah.
good luck, Russo brothers. How are you going to do that? Oh, and, like, Spider-Man, probably.
Yeah.
Like, if they want to touch, like, the Netflix people in there too, somehow, if you want to, I mean, like touch on that somehow.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, here's Daredevil, you
Yeah,
know.
he's flipping around, doing stuff. Yes, that was, there's a few other things, like, some of the continuity, even I thought, was, like, this is a more sequel to Avengers and not necessarily, like, Tony didn't really seem like the same. Like Tony at the end of Iron Man 3. Like, they seem to have slightly different ideas.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. Because, like, by the Iron Man 3, you got the impression that he would never put on a suit again because he didn't have to.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, here, first thing you see is him flying around and saying, "Suits are great! I'm going to make the ultimate suit!"
Yep.
But you can't have, like, you can't have no Iron Man, so I understand all that. But it makes sense for that movie. Like, Black Widow always seems like a different character every movie she's in.
She does. She really does.
Which I don't know if that's a failing or if she just puts on different attitudes depending on her situation.
Yeah, we
Like,
can't tell.
yeah, like, I don't know if it's just, well, like, obviously it's like different writers, but, like, you know, in Iron Man 2, she's basically a blank slate. But then, like, she's given more personality in Avengers. But then in Winter Soldier, she has, like, a different type of personality. And then, like, in Avengers 2, she's, like, back to the Avengers version.
Yeah.
It's like each hairstyle represents a different part of her, I guess.
Yeah. That's true. That's true.
That was about it.
Yeah, that's really all I could think about. That's true.
Yeah, this reminded me just a lot of, like, Man of Steel. Like of all the backlash that movie got, which I always thought was not really deserving. Like, you're right to criticize it, but not unfairly, you know? And, like, you have to understand the intent of the filmmakers too. My mind of, well, since this movie came out, we've learned that Martin Freeman's going to be in Civil War.
Yeah. Yeah.
I
Wonder
wonder if he's
who's
going to be someone we know or just, like, random person or
No, we don't
someone
know.
that.
We don't know.
And we've seen some concept art of Steve and Tony's costumes in the movie, so that's kind
Yeah.
of neat.
I'm excited about that.
And I think we're on the verge of learning who Spider-Man's going to be, like, the actor.
Well, hopefully.
Yep. And that movie is filming right now in Atlanta. Or really soon.
Well, you live out there. Why don't you like get yourself a little spy cam and you know?
Marvel's been doing a lot of movies in Atlanta lately. Cause like Ant-Man was filmed here, and I think Avengers is gonna be filmed here too.
What you gonna do? You're gonna go
I
in a
mean
little
it.
secret camera and you're gonna get yourself some exclusive footage.
Yeah, like a Fast and Furious 7, like the new one, was filmed here too. Like, must have good tax stuff here, I guess, right now. Yep. So, okay. Wanted to get at that off our chest. Like, we, despite the flaws, we really enjoyed Avengers 2. And,
Yeah, I did. I still did.
yeah.
I still did. So.
And I'm actually anxious to see it again because I want to, you know, give it another watch and see what I think of it.
Yeah.
Want to see that Iron Man and Hulk scene again. Oh, here's another tidbit. The Hulk in that African village or a city th a fight scene was going to be the Gray Hulk. Like, when he was under mind control, he was going to be the Gray Hulk. But they're like, no, people want to see the Green Hulk. It's like they don't have to ex want to explain a gray one. And I guess during the final battle, like, did you notice that the Hulk wasn't really in it for that much?
No, yeah, he wasn't.
That's because they had, like, they cut out most of the scenes with him because there was this other, like, ongoing I don't really know. Like, he didn't explain what it was, but there was, like, an ongoing gag with the Hulk during that battle that they decided not to use. So that meant that most of his scenes were cut during the final battle. Because I noticed that, too. It's like, Black Widow's like, go get him. And then he doesn't show up until that, like, church scene where they're beating up all the robots. It's like, well, he must have been having fun somewhere.
Yeah, he's just off doing Hulk things, I suppose.
Like, yeah, like, editing that movie, because Joss said that the first cut was over 3 hours long. Like, I can't imagine what a nightmare it was to edit that thing.
Yeah.
And I hope we get to see a lot of that. Like, I think we might see a director's cut of this movie.
That better.
Or at least have a whole bunch of deleted scenes.
All the deleted
scenes. Yeah, there hasn't... Like, deleted scenes in most of these movies are usually pretty bad. Or just, like, add nothing. But I think this one might have a bunch. And, there was a thing on Amazon that, like, they listed for the Blu-ray, like, extended edition. But it was, like, taken down. They said they... I don't know what they said, but it was taken down. So, like, I wonder. But at the same time, I wonder if Joss, like, doesn't want to have anything else to do with it at this point.
Yeah, we don't
he's
know.
Like,
for sure.
He's like, I'm done. Oh, yeah. He left Twitter, I guess.
That's true. He did.
Not because of people being mad at him, just because he just wants his peace and quiet while he goes back to writing whatever he's working on.
Yeah. So. No, you know what? He still works on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., right?
I think that's mostly his brother. I want him to work on Dr. Horrible. Like, whatever he wants to do with that next. Because there's been talks of a movie, like, for years, but then he did Avengers.
Yeah, it's true.
All right, I think we said we had to
say
here.
We said everything we needed to say.
Yep. Age of Ultron, worst movie ever, you know.
Shut up, you. I thought it was good.
I thought it was slightly better than Fantastic Four.
Want to get fought in the streets, Joey?
I remember liking Fantastic Four 2. It's probably, like, really dumb if I watched it now, but I remember saying, oh, that was pretty fun.
Yeah.
But whatever. It had Galactus Cloud in it, so. You know, with all this alternate dimension stuff in the new Fantastic Four reboot, I wouldn't be surprised if we actually see, like a Galactus as he's in the comics, like, someday in that series.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's a different conversation. We'll probably do a podcast on that after it's horrible. But hopefully it's not horrible.
All right.
Thank you, Randy.
No problem, Joey.
I'll see you later. Bye, guys.
All right. Be later on.